Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this day. And we thank you that we can come as your small family in this particular location, join together in worship. Lord, we thank you for the answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer and that you move sovereignly, Lord, many, many times. And we thank you for that. You are a good, good Father.
Yes, you are.
Singing that song. Now, we lift up our spiritual father here, Pastor John, and we pray the gifts that he has to impart here today, Lord, that they would be received, Lord, that they'd be appreciated, but more than that, that we would walk it out. Father, bless this word, we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been around, you know that over the past few weeks, we've been talking about living victoriously in Christ, and about how we have, or we should have at least, a confident expectation that God is going to move in our lives as we walk forward, as we grow in our Christian walk. So God wants us to know that we can always trust Him as He's working in us. We can always trust that He's working for our good. He's never going to work against us. God is always working for us. And Romans 8:28 spells it right out. It says, tells us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's in all things. God is working for our good. And He also wants us to know that we can be confident that He's not going to quit on us. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, last week I began to talk about how God wants to change the way we see things, the way we look at the world, the way we look at life. And far too often we have allowed this world that we live in, this world system, this fallen world, to basically dictate to our mind how we should think. But here's what we're told in Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to push aside the world's way of thinking, the worldview that's out there right now, and put that behind us and begin to try to see this world through God's eyes. A whole different paradigm, a whole different way of seeing things. Ephesians 4:23 spells this out. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So God wants us to get a new attitude. I started that last week, and I'm back to finish it today. Our attitude is the way that we see things. It's the way that we look at life. And it's the way our mind works then. And our attitude will eventually determine our actions and how we interact with life, with the world, with God, with people. Our attitude will determine how we interact with everything around us. And last week we saw that according to God's Word, there are two main, basically, opposing mindsets, or two, you could say, attitudes, or two different ways we can get an attitude. Put it that way. Two different ways to choose from. Now, the one is in the world. It's the worldly, carnal system basically led by our sin nature. If we take that attitude, our sin nature is going to just grab hold of that, and then that's what's going to direct us. That's what's going to lead us around. We're going to see everything through the eyes of our flesh. And then there's another way, and that's the spiritual attitude. We could choose that way. And that's where we're led by the Holy Spirit. So we have two ways, two opposing views, two opposing attitudes, two opposing mindsets. And Romans 8:5 explains this a little further. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. So if we choose the world's way of thinking, the world's way of looking at things, the world viewpoint, the world view, then that's our sinful nature. And if we have our mindset, and if we have our mindset on that nature, we're going to see in a minute where that's going to lead, where that's going to lead. But it says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit, they have their mind set then on what the Spirit desires. So it's pretty obvious. World, carnal, flesh, Holy Spirit. Romans, just a couple verses down, in Romans 8:13, it lays out the consequences of that choice. It says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, so if we choose that nature, if we want to live by that way, that attitude, that mindset, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. You will die. But now if we choose the Holy Spirit and decide to live by the Spirit, it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now, what I didn't get to last week was how we can get this new type of attitude into our mind, and also some of the benefits, you might say, or the rewards from, you know, living with this new attitude, this new mindset, this new way of looking at the world. So the question is, how do we put on this new attitude? How do we get this in us? Well, the first thing I would say is that you can't do it by yourself. You cannot do this on your own. It doesn't matter how strong your will is. It doesn't matter how much willpower you got. It doesn't matter how educated you are or how much education you have. It doesn't matter how determined you are or how many self-help books you read or how many conferences you go to make your life better. They're all over the place. Doesn't matter. Even when you study the Scriptures, you still can't do it alone. Because anybody can study the Scriptures. Even a non-Christian can study the Scriptures. Anybody can. Why is it that none of those things can bring us to that place where God wants us to be with our attitude, with our mindset? And here's the answer right here in John 3:6. It says that flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So anything the flesh does only feeds the flesh. Our flesh can never raise itself beyond the flesh. We have to be called by God. We have to be led by God, led by the Spirit of God. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to grow in and to take on this new godly attitude. Our flesh doesn't want it. Our carnal man, our flesh man, our worldly man or woman does not want to live by the Spirit. It wants what it wants. The lusts of the flesh, the cravings of the sinful nature, laziness, sitting back in the easy chair, just watching TV all day, just living for ourselves, getting what we can, not caring about anybody else, us number one. That's the way of the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to see things the way God does. We can't see things the way God does through this flesh. The Holy Spirit helps us put on the mind of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who awakens our spiritual nature. The Holy Spirit awakens our spiritual nature. Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. When we want to love others, when we want to love our husband or our wife, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, or the lost, whoever it might be, we can't really do it on our own, at least not the way God wants us to. The Holy Spirit first has to help us understand the love of God. The only way that we can truly learn to help others is by understanding that love. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because He first loved us. If we never believe in or trust in or experience, get hold of, understand the love of God, if we don't get that into us, we can't love. We love because He first loved us. As we recognize His love for us, then we're able to love in the way that He wants us to love others. Self-sacrificing, serving, from the heart. Until we understand God's love, we'll never be able to love one another the way God wants us to do. And that's the key command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, this, he said, all the commands hang on this. Everything is into this, you know, has to work into that love somehow. And for us to do that, we have to be led by the Spirit. Somebody who is not a believer, somebody who does not have, you know, God living and working and breathing inside of them, could never love with the heart of God. Our flesh can't do that. That we may as well take a rock or a plant and say, love them for us. Well, I don't know. Honey, I know you left this plant for me to love me while you're gone, but I just didn't feel the love. People used to get pet rocks back when I was young. You ever have one of those? Did it love you? Did you love it? That's how we learn. It's through knowing the love of God that we're able to learn how to love others even when our flesh doesn't want to or can't. It's easy to love the lovable, right? I mean, to at least the kind of love, the worldly love, love them back, just have nice feelings towards them and do nice things. But real love encompasses a whole lot more than just feeling sappy and, you know, like loving and that kind of way. There's a lot more to it. So we need the Holy Spirit to lead us in love. When we want to forgive someone, when we need to forgive someone, when we can't quite say the words or just we can't get it out, we can't feel it, it's just not there, then again, we need to let the Holy Spirit minister to us and teach us about how we've been forgiven by God. See, when we recognize how much we've been forgiven, then we can forgive others. And God's Word tries to teach us this over and over and over again. One of the stories that just pops into my mind is the man who was forgiven a great debt by the king, and then another man came along that owed him a little bit of money, and he wouldn't forgive him. And because he wouldn't forgive him, the master then threw the other guy in prison, said, you wouldn't even forgive him. So, you know, see, we have to, forgiveness is an essential part of being a Christian. If somebody asks us to forgive them, we're supposed to forgive them. Those we're in a relationship with here in the body of Christ, and, you know, we take offense sometimes, and, you know, when we shouldn't. We're supposed to have a forgiving nature. And God wants us to be able to do that, but if we don't understand forgiveness, if we don't realize how much we've been forgiven, that it's hard to get that in us. But the Holy Spirit will teach us. And the Holy Spirit will guide us and enable us to be forgiving and to be loving. and to see things from another person's point of view and to get God's heart for somebody. And you'll be able to love someone and forgive them like you never thought you could. You know, sometimes we have ought against our parents. I know a lot of people, it seems like, have had problems with mom or dad, especially dad. And I think there's a lot of that because the devil wants to destroy that father-child relationship because he's the father and we're the child. And he wants to, the devil wants to already have a built-in block so we can never get to know. Just like Alex was sharing, that she was rejected by her father. How hard then is that than to overcome that so that she can not be rejected by her heavenly father? But thank God she was able to overcome that. And then what happened was then she, because of that relationship with God, when she was fully embraced by her father in heaven, she was then able to forgive even her own dad, you know, which is a wonderful thing. When we want to be a help to others, to be a servant, because we know it's right. You know, a lot of times as Christians, but maybe even before we became a Christian, maybe, we know that it's a good thing to serve people, to help people. And, you know, people ask us, can we help them? And, you know, they're friends of ours, and so we think, yeah, I should help them. But then we're out there, and all we can do is grumble and complain, maybe outside or maybe just inside. And we're feeling like put out while we're there because we don't have this real servanthood in us. We don't have this serving nature in us that Jesus had. Do you remember when it says that he humbled himself and became a servant? That's what Jesus did. He became the servant of all servants. When he humbled himself, he came down, then he taught it again when he washed the disciples' feet. And he said, if you can't do this, then you'll have no part of me. You know, I mean, we have to all be able to serve and be served. And then he went to the cross to serve us in his death. And so once again, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And then the Holy Spirit will give us an attitude of servanthood. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. God humbled himself to such a point that he came down to this earth to serve us. God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the heavens, humbled himself and came down to this earth to serve us. That's amazing. Amazing love. We sing a song called Amazing Love, and it sure is when you think about it. And he asks us then to do the same thing, to be servants. When we understand then by the Spirit what Jesus has done for us, how he served us, then the Holy Spirit will be able to put that attitude inside of me, the attitude of a servant. And we need that. We need, the body of Christ needs servants. We need to be the servants of all servants. You know, it should be, and not just in the church, but servants to all people, because then that's how we are able to, by serving somebody, that's where we have the greatest opening into someone's life. When we meet their need, when somebody has a need and we meet that need, their felt need, whatever they feel they need at that time, when we help them doing that, then we have an in into their life where oftentimes they'll then let us share our faith. It's nice if we do, you know, I mean, anybody can be nice. Anybody can do someone a favor. But you know what? When we do those nice things and they're just done in the flesh just because we're a nice guy or a nice girl or because maybe we want something back in return, then it doesn't really please God. Romans 8, verse 8 says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So see, if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, if we're not really a son or a daughter of God, we're not being led by the Spirit of God to do something, that really doesn't carry any weight in heaven. Just because we're a nice guy and I help stop and help somebody fix their flat or give them directions or whatever it is, that's nice. But it's not getting me any points up in heaven. It's just a nice thing. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. So see, he's talking now to us that God's word is speaking to us and assuming that we are of those now, those who hear the message, are not controlled anymore by this sinful nature. But you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. So see, that's the other side. We're either controlled by the sinful nature or by the Spirit. That's the way God looks at it, either or. Our own human nature or the Spirit. Worldly attitude, godly attitude. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Oftentimes, things are done in the flesh, nice things are done in the flesh, just for our own personal reasons. If you remember, one time Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, about how they were standing out on the corner and praying, and they wanted to be seen by others and look good, and Jesus said they had already received their reward in full. Their prayers were heard by the men on the corner around them, and they got their reward. They wanted the respect of the people by being good prayers. But God didn't even care what they prayed. They were, you know, remember what they were called? Vipers, brood of snakes, whitewashed tomb. Everything we do needs to be done with a pure heart, with a godly spiritual attitude. So we need to be led by the Spirit to be able to do that. John 16:13 tells us that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. So the main instrument, the main thing that God uses, you know, to open up the Word of God to us is going to be the Holy Spirit. And then that's how he's going to help us to take on this godly attitude, to learn then how to do it. So I just showed that it's the Holy Spirit that brings us and helps us to operate in this godly attitude. That's how we do the actions. That's how we operate. That's how we function with a godly attitude. And the Holy Spirit not only helps us to operate in that way, but then he also teaches us about that way and how to do it. Because he's the main force. He's the main instrument. So it says in 2 Timothy that the Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. And the main person that's doing the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training is the Holy Spirit. We can do that too. We can use the Word of God to train others and to train ourselves. But it's the Holy Spirit who's backing that up. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that when we're reading the Word. And that's why it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And then this last line, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. So the Word of God can actually judge our attitude as the Holy Spirit opens it up to us. So as we read it, he's pointing it out. We're reading about something in there, and through the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us and says, it's in this area that I'd like you to consider trying this. God's Word is the only book in the whole world that we can completely trust. 100% trust to teach us the right things, the way to behave, the way to be transformed. I've personally known people that have had issues in their ability to function mentally and who began to read the Word and study the Word and grow in the Word. And as they did that, their mind began to be transformed and they began to think well. It actually healed their thinking process because the Word of God is so solid. It gave them such a foundation that they were able to lay things right. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the illuminator. He's the guide. He's the counselor. And He's the one who wants to teach us. And we can learn so much from Him, and especially as He teaches us through God's Word, the Bible. There's no greater book. It's actually the mind of God. The Bible is the mind of God in printed form. Think about that. God wanted to convey to us the way He thinks, so He tried to put in there all kinds of situations and stories and teachings and parables and illustrations and all this, everything in there that goes right along with the way He thinks, so we would have that, the mind of God, written down on a piece of on paper in a Bible, so we can read it and know God's mind. And the Holy Spirit will implant that Word into us, that wisdom. He'll put it inside of us. And then we receive the truth. And as we receive it and put our faith in it, then that's how we begin to be transformed. That's how our attitude is then formed. And so Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in us. God knows that it needs to live in us. Dwell. Stay there. And as our mind is filled with God's thoughts, our attitude begins to become more and more like God's way of thinking. And then we begin to express ourselves and relate to other people the way God would. The way God would have us do it. And that's how we're transformed, through the Word of God. That's why God's Word is so precious. It's the only thing in life, the only thing in life that will stand with absolute certainty. There's nothing else in this world that we can judge with and have that it has absolute certainty that will always be there, that it will always be true, that it will always be right, that it will always be able to teach us and show us the right way to go. Nothing else. Thank God for His Word, that we have that Word, that precious Word. So finally, what are the fruit or the benefits that come out of having this new attitude? Well, there's so many, there's no way I would even begin to get to them all today. I mean, you know, life, peace, joy, love, liberty, happiness, I mean, patience, kindness, forgiveness, salvation. I mean, there is so much. I mean, the list would take too long to say in one day what we could get out of that, you know. So what I'm going to do then is I just want to look back at this one scripture that we already read. Just take a couple things out of it where it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, it says, then, so now it's going to tell us what happens then. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I'm just going to take a couple minutes to just share what happens then. After we, as you know, as we are, we gave up the world, we're no longer conformed to the world system, to the world's way of thinking, we're changing our mind, we're being transformed, we're taking on this new attitude, now something begins to happen in us. It's the then. After our attitude is renewed, something happens. There's like a new pathway that's opened up to us, a new insight into God, into living. And we begin to understand the will of God for our life. That's what I'm talking about, what it says in here. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So what happens is, as we begin to have this attitude, after we're transformed or being transformed, we begin to see the purposes of God, the will of God. We begin to understand that God is actually working in my life. God is working in this world. God is doing things. God is making things happen to me and through me, and He wants to use me even more. And now I'm beginning to see this as I take on this attitude. So it's like a new pathway has opened up. And this cannot happen to a worldly mind. The worldly mind, the mind that is not led by the Spirit of God, the carnal mind, can never understand God's will or purpose. I mean, they can do it on purely on an intellectual way. If somebody shows them and teaches them, they may be able to say, oh yeah, I think I get it now. But they're not really getting it. Because remember, the way of God is foolishness to the world. As our mind is renewed and we take on God's thoughts, and then we have an attitude, then we start to have this different kind of attitude, an attitude that where we want to obey, where we want to follow after Him, because remember, you love me if you obey my commands. And when we take on an attitude of Christ, loving Christ, what happens is we want to obey Him in that attitude. And so as we begin to have this attitude of obedience, then our mind becomes, we become prepared to listen to God, to hear from God, to understand what He's trying to do. Our mind is open to hearing His purpose and His will and His direction, His leading. And then His will becomes clearer and clearer to us. And we begin to see the beauty of His ways and His purposes and His laws. And we don't see them anymore as binding and restricting and God jamming us down and squashing in us and being this mean, bad dad, you know? Instead, we begin to see Him for the loving Father that He is. So it says then we see His will is good. That's the first thing it says. We see that His will is good. It's good. Even when it cuts right through our opinions, because we have our own opinions about how we should do something, but God's will is good. And we have our own desires and our own tastes and our own wants. But ours isn't always the good way. But God's will, when we take on that godly attitude and we begin to walk in obedience to God's word and to His purpose, we begin to see that His way is the good way. And next we see that His will is pleasing. Pleasing to Him, as our whole life should be. That's what He wants our life to be pleasing to Him. And that can't happen no matter how nice we are when we're a worldly person. And there are some wonderful worldly people out there. There are some worldly people that are nicer than Christians. But that's not getting them to heaven. So we see that His will is pleasing. And ultimately what happens after our life becomes pleasing to Him, we begin to see that His will now is also pleasing to us, because we begin to understand how good it is. And we begin to realize that it's always, His will is always for our greatest good. Sometimes we rebel against His will because it seems hard, it seems like it's going to hurt, it seems like it's going to, there'll be some kind of backlash or something where we're afraid to step out in it. But after a time, hopefully, we realize that His will is so good that we are now, it's pleasing to us to follow. And then it says that we can understand that His will is perfect. That means that our plans, our addendums, our, you know, extra add-on things are not going to improve on God's will. I mean, sometimes we read something of God's and then we just immediately say, now this is what it really means. Right away, and or you know, this is what I think God wants me to do. And sometimes it's not even out, it's not doesn't even go along with the word. So God wants us to realize that His will is perfect. His word is perfect. His will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we begin to walk in this attitude of God, this godly attitude, we begin to understand, we grasp it, we get hold of that His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And we see not only, see the thing is, His will, we think sometimes we see more, but the truth is we only see through this very narrow scope, this very narrow passageway. If I look like this, I can only see very little at a time. I see just a few people. When I open up my path, my vision, I can see everybody. But I only see everybody here in this moment. God sees everybody here in this moment, all the way back from the beginning and all the way out into the future. And He sees past, present, and future, and He also sees all things, and He sees how all things are related to everything else. We couldn't even comprehend that. And because He sees all of that, His will is perfect. Everything He ever sets in motion is perfect. Everything He has ever set in motion is perfection. God is perfect. We can't improve upon God's plans. His will is perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. We may feel we don't always understand God's will. Well, guess what? We probably never will completely. You know, but we get glimpses of it. What we need to ask ourselves is, are we doing what we do know already? You know, God reveals things to us in stages. We can't handle it all. Our mind is too small. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. So He can't give us everything. So He gives us something to work on. And then He waits for us to get to the conclusion of that thing, or close to it, and then He starts revealing the next part. And as we get through there, then He says the next part. Don't we do that sometimes with our little kids? Now, honey, go do this. You know, a little 4-year-old or 3-year-old or something. Go put this in your bedroom and then come back here and I'll tell you what to do next. If you try to tell them 10 things, my wife can only tell me 3 things. After that, I forget. So that's about my limit. You know, sometimes I can remember more things, but I certainly couldn't remember 10 million things or 10 billion things, but God can. Could you remember even 1 billion things or a million things? I couldn't remember 100 things, unless it was 100 numbers, one through 100 in order. I can remember that. God will never give us more than we can handle. He doesn't want us to fail. He, in fact, exactly opposite. He wants us and expects us to be victorious. And it all starts with our attitude. It all starts with the attitude that we have in us. And thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, or 1 John 5:4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith." The Holy Spirit will continuously lead us back to Christ, and He will always help us to then put the mind of Christ back on and take on that godly attitude whenever we turn to Him. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, He's always going to lead us with the Word of Christ, with the truth, into the truth. He will never lead us to sin or to do wrong. And we can't remember all the rules. We can't have... God doesn't want us to live in bondage to a million rules. He just wants us to love Him and be led by His Spirit and just move freely as we have a continual companion who's right there with us, always wanting to lead us into the next step. He tries to make it so easy, and we try to make it so difficult. He wants us to help. He wants to help us think on whatever is true, whatever is noble, excellent, praiseworthy, holy, you know, pure, you know, all those different things, admirable, whatever is praiseworthy and excellent. That's the way God wants us to think on those kind of things. And Philippians 4:3 tells us, let your mind dwell on those things. That'll help us as we grow in our attitude. So once again, we need to make a choice. Which attitude will we live with? Which one will we think with? Which one will we act with? The one that comes from that fallen world, the world system, in it, with a world view, seeing things through the eyes of what's out there in the world, through the eyes of television or celebrities or all these different philosophies, or seeing things through the mind of God, through the Word of God, through the, seeing things as we're led by the Holy Spirit. One comes from God and leads to life, and the other one leads to death. When we come to God with that new attitude in prayer, or in praise and worship, or in our Bible study, or in fellowship, God wants us to come with an expectation, a confident expectation that good things are going to happen. That good things are going to happen in our midst. Whenever we go into a situation, wherever it is, whatever we're doing, if we're going as God leads us, we should expect that something good's going to come out. It doesn't matter if we see it or not. We might just plant a little seed that 10 years later finally blossoms. We might even have already passed on. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody says, I remember what that guy said. Remember, it's a process. This doesn't happen all at once to anybody. But we're on a path, a course that God has marked out for us. We're being sanctified. We're growing day by day. We're growing more and more like Christ. This is a process. And this is God working inside of you. God's giving God the authority through His Holy Spirit to work inside of you. Trust God in you to do that work, to change you, to use you, to do great things in you. And know that He will never, ever quit on you. God's not going to quit on you. It says that we can be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion for the day of Jesus. So let's pray. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're even working in our minds, that you're changing our opinions, you're changing our thoughts, you're changing our attitude, that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you're working in us, that you've begun a process, and we can be confident that what you began in us, you will carry it on to completion. We thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us, that you always keep coming back, that you always keep restoring us, that you keep forgiving us, that you keep working in us. Lord, we give you permission today. Lord, take over. Take over. Work in us. Do a miracle in our lives, Lord God, in our emotions, in our minds, in our physical bodies, in our attitude. Lord, give us that godly attitude that we need so much, to be able to look at this world, to act right, to think right, and to do right, Lord God. Give us a godly attitude, an expectant, confident, godly attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We have coffee and donuts. Stick around, talk, and have a good time. Have a great day. Thanks for coming out.